What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.
Hey, everyone. It's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens. And all that kinds of shit. Visit OsborneMediaHouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of The Show Radio. It's episode 486 of The Show. I'm your host, Andrew.
And I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info. And check out past shows while you're there. Subscribe and tell a friend about the show. Daniela, what's up? What's happening?
I'm going through some pretty bad weather. Not as bad as people being snowed in or anything like that, but it's been pretty rainy, pretty really windy, actually. We have some high wind advisories. We have some people who had to leave some places because they're known for being flooded. So they have some shelter set up. But I mean, it sounds a whole lot worse than it is. But I think the biggest problem right now is just a lot of debris on the road, which is like knocking down tree branches, which is affecting like our power lines. So a lot of those little inconveniences, but I'm okay.
All right. So this particular episode, I'm glad that you're okay. This particular episode, 486, we definitely wanted to focus on two main things. There's a couple other things that we have in the show notes, but the two main things this week as we power through and hopefully get some good audio for you guys for this episode is Apex Legends as well as the Division 2 beta. Both I've been able to check out. I know you have thoughts on Apex Legends as well as the Division 2 beta, Daniela. So I'm thinking we can jump right into that, right? And then and then go from there. So let's do Apex Legends first. Okay, so I want to hear your thoughts on that, and I'll share mine, and we'll go from there.
So I didn't play it, but my thoughts on top of it is, like, I loved how it was so sneaky, and they kind of just like dropped this game on everybody without any advertisement, without really anything leaking, which is really amazing. That you don't have any major anybody really like let it out or said anything beforehand, so it came like out of nowhere for a lot of people, or everybody really.
Yeah,
and I think it's something that Respawn seriously like they needed, but I don't think it would work. Like, my thoughts on this, my major thoughts is, I don't think this is a method that people or studios should really go forward in on their games. I think this, like, the stars have to align for something like this to be successful. And it just so happened to align for them. I think if it didn't, it could have just been a complete fail and flop.
Right. So you got more? Tell me more.
Well, okay. So, and I also want to say, I think I've like mentioned this over like several times over the last year, that because of Fortnite, I think any game that's going to go into the battle royale genre, it has to be that free-to-play model. So that's like my biggest thing.
Yeah. Okay. So one of the questions I had for you as we think about, you know, so I'll give a little bit more because I was able to check it out. I really dug what I saw. So I'll get into that in a little bit. But one of the things I definitely wanted to ask you is, do you believe that Respawn is going after Epic Games, or any company rather going after Epic?
I wouldn't say that they're going directly at them, but it's adding a whole other flavor to give competition, and then competition brews creativity, which is great for the player base, for gamers in general, to, you know, have different varieties. I wouldn't so much say that they're, me personally, thinking that they are going for them.
Okay, fair enough.
But it is pretty amazing that I think in like 72 hours it had what, 10 million players?
Yeah, it was
that's
pretty crazy.
Huge.
Yep. Absolutely.
So I think that was great. It's great. I mean, I think within the second day it had two times more viewers on Twitch than Fortnite did.
Yeah. Yeah. It's doing really well. We can agree. It's doing really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So,
how did you like playing it and stuff?
Okay. So, I like the fact that this particular game, Apex Legends, is incorporating things that we've seen in other games, as well as the Battle Royale product, which pretty much most companies are doing them now, right? Hi-Rez Studios has the Realm Royale. We've seen the one that didn't do so well from Cliffy B. We have Fortnite. We have PUBG. And I'm sure there's some other ones that I'm not necessarily aware of right now as it relates to those Battle Royale products. But I really dug what I played because I really enjoyed the Titanfall, you know, graphics and universe, if you want to call it that. And the fact that they incorporated the team components that remind me of like Destiny characters. What I mean by that is all the powers and abilities of those individuals are unique. And if you combine, you know, if you master your character and you go in as the three team, you can really dominate if everybody knows their character really well and they play well together. I like the fact that when you jump out of the plane or whatever you want to call it, there's a jump master that leads the jump and guides everybody to their spot. You can do that together, or you could do that separate. I kind of like that. I like the graphics, you know, the heroes type graphics that we've seen on games like Paladins and Overwatch, and I like that feel. It's definitely, you know, geared towards an esports type of game, and I think that they did a beautiful job. Like you said, with the rollout, it was so well done. There were rumors a couple of days prior to it being mentioned or released to the public. You know, the Twitch community really responded well to it when I was watching the stream, and having played it and downloaded it pretty much right after, it was really smooth to play it. I didn't have a lot of issues, you know, playing it and stuff like that. So it was a great package. And one of the things that I was saying, you know, either on stream and some other places I was having different conversations, is the thing is we have so many great games that are free to play that we can enjoy, right? Back then, whether it was the Nintendo generation or those type of, you know, SNES, NES, Sega Genesis, we didn't have a lot of games where it would be free to play and we had options to buy things in them. And if they did exist at that time, I'm not aware of them. But we have so much variety now, whether it's the Battle Royale stuff, the Games Plus stuff that we've talked about, the subscription model that we've talked about. But I still see people complaining, and we have more options now than we ever did. And I don't understand that. But in terms of the Apex Legends game, I really, really dug it. It was different for me. And I think that I loved it more because I felt like I was playing not necessarily a Destiny game, but because it had the elements of these individuals are unique. You have this character, that character, and they all have their special abilities and stuff like that. I'm not sure how much of that is in Fortnite because I didn't play Fortnite as much, but I've played more Apex Legends than I played Fortnite ever, right? And I don't know what that means at this point. Maybe I'll jump back into it. To me, Battle Royale games are grindy. Grindy up until the point where you're the last maybe 10 or the last 5 individuals as the circle draws to a close, you know, that kind of a thing, which you're familiar with. So overall, I loved it. I loved everything about it. And I just don't understand why there's still complaints of, you know, what more do you want? You know, like that's where I'm at with it. So it's excellent. I think it's a great thing to try out. And I think that we live in a culture now that we're so hesitant to try out free things. Well, all you have to do, especially if you have the bandwidth, is just download it and try it out. If you don't like it, delete it. But it's there for you to try. And I think that we're at a great space now with all the variety that we have, especially if you're, you know, trying to create content for your channel and stuff like that. So overall, I think it's a really great free-to-play battle royale. And it's worth checking out.
Going along with like people are finding things to complain, I think no, there's just no way of making everybody happy. Like people like to complain just to complain. Like maybe they just like hearing their voice. I have no idea. And because there's like people complaining now about having too many launchers. I'm kind of like that because there's a lot, but at the same time, there's a different set of variety. Epic is like offering stuff so that people who publish on their developers that publish their games on top of their platform get, you know, more of the money back rather compared to publishing on Steam. And like, I think over the years, like, I think overall the community, the gaming community, always complained like, oh, the studio deserves to have more money because developers work so hard. But here they are having this opportunity to make more money back to so that they can thrive to make more games that we enjoy. It just happens to be on a different platform and people are complaining and like, okay, but this is kind of what we wanted going forward. Like, you're just, I just feel like people are complaining just to complain.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So that's really good. It's great. Check it out. Try it out. You know, if you have the ability to check it out, whether you check it out on, you know, an Xbox or a PlayStation or PC, just check it out. It's worth you, you know, experiencing that world, you know. And I think that it's going to be hard for some individuals because they're like, well, you know what? Titanfall 2 didn't do so well. Yeah, Titanfall 2 still has a cloud over it because of the release window it was in, right? But in terms of the game, it's a great game, great campaign, a great multiplayer, you know, that kind of a thing. So if you're holding on to that, then you're going to miss out on a lot of great stuff coming out from Respawn Entertainment. Another thing that's looming out there is, since we're talking about Titanfall stuff and Respawn stuff, there's supposedly another game in the works. So before the year's over.
If that's going to be their Titanfall 3, I really hope that it's not going to be around any big releases.
Right.
Because let's face it, like for Apex, I'm saying all the stars have to align. But if Sony was coming out with a game in this within this month or Nintendo came out with something that was super hype, nobody's going to really pay attention to what Apex was. So it's like this perfect slot in the month of February for this to come out and for them to just like take advantage of this. Like, it's really slow, nothing's happening. Kingdom Hearts already came out like a few weeks ago, so that's kind of a little bit dying down. Just put it out.
Right. So you have that. Okay, so that's all I have for Apex Legends. It's great. It's free, and if you want to buy stuff, you can. That's your choice. As it relates to the, if you want to call it microtransactions and stuff like that. So that's what's going on with that. Okay, so the Division 2 beta, Daniela, I'll let you start with that one.
So I've been playing it on PC, and man, I wish I would have been able to get it on console because it is super, super rough on PC right now. I tried to stream it. I can't. There's a lot of memory leaks and the CPU usage. And I thought it was maybe because my CPU was a little bit older, but I had some friends who have a much newer, better PC rig than I do, having the same problems in which it's using 60 to 80% of your CPU usage. And if you're a streamer and you use, like, you don't have a two PC setup, just pretty much impossible to do both. I had to end my stream early because I couldn't play. And it was very stuttery. I had so many disconnects. If I lowered, there's a slight bug originally in the beginning where if I tried to lower my graphics, it wasn't actually safe. So there's like, I think an update that I pushed that night. And so eventually it happened. But if you like lower it so that it's not so resource intensive, it's like the enemies were pretty much invisible and the ranging on it was completely insanely off. So that was kind of my experience. But when I did get a play, I think it took 3 attempts at the first mission before we could actually complete it because we had like the Delta 3, I think it is, error of just disconnecting so many times.
Right.
It was rough.
Okay. So we're actually recording this on Sunday, the 10th. I've been playing it ever since they allowed us to, you know, check it out. It was very, very rough in the beginning. The first 2 days, I don't know if they did, you know, updates or patches. I think I saw one update fly in. I don't know if there was any other ones after that. But the 9th of February, I was playing it. That would be Saturday, right? That was really, really smoother than the last couple of days that I was checking it out. And that's another one, too. You know, belly aching on the internet about this should be better, shouldn't be disconnecting, we shouldn't be like walking on walls, we shouldn't be, you know, dropping in, you know, in ceilings and stuff like that. And that in and of itself, those conversations shouldn't necessarily be happening because we're playing a beta, you know what I mean? And I think that we're still, you know, at a space where we're expecting so much from certain pieces of software before the company actually releases, you know, the game itself. But I think is if we have those same issues when the game comes out, then that's a different conversation. But if they're trying to iron out those things before the game comes out, which I think that's the idea, then let's, you know, report those things to make sure that those things do not make it in the final product. And I'm sure updates will fix the other stuff once the game comes out. So impressions of the beta, let's just go with that. Impressions of the beta, really good. I dug it. The nuances of the graphics, the detail, the invitation to loot as much as you can, the drop in, drop out for either free roam, multiplayer, and all the different story missions, and you know, the weapon customization stuff. I didn't necessarily do Dark Zone in my process, but just enjoying the environment, the music, the soundtrack, if you want to call it score, whatever. I really enjoyed everything about the beta. And one of the things that I said on Instagram is, you know, betas, I said something to the effect bugs, disconnects, you know, et cetera, those things will happen in betas. But the experience of the Division 2 beta has been amazing outside of those things. Once you get past those things, understanding that's what you're playing, and the fact that you were even selected to play it, I don't know how randomized that is, but whatever, it was great to go in there and experience the game, the game sections that we were allowed to check out in the beta, and it was fun. I really dug it. I'll probably play it some more tonight before it closes out Monday. So I may just jump back in there and just test out some, you know, OBS settings, which I was telling you prior to starting the recording. I'm just having fun with the games that we have, and I definitely want to play a variety of games on my channel this year. That's, you know, more than just Destiny. You know, definitely other games that are coming out needs, you know, the kind of attention and love that, you know, I've shown Destiny all last year. So I'm having fun with it.
I feel like we had like two different like experiences. So I'm just gonna assume like just overall console was better. Oops. because I don't know. For me, I felt it was, I don't know, it felt empty to me in a way. Like I enjoyed it with the people I was playing with. So I feel like my positive that I had from the experience was more because I was playing with really good people and I was enjoying their company. It still isn't something I would play by myself. I can. Right. It looked better. Like I think it looked better than what one was. The scenery in the areas felt more open, more lush, more deep. But I don't know. Just kind of, I'm not convinced to get a date.
Okay. All right. I was getting a lot of different party invites when I was playing it. So it was like, okay, you know, you join a team or you answer. I kept saying like, yeah, let me answer the call of duty because somebody needed help. And then you'll either drop in a free roam with them and they'll mark a particular territory that you can explore and try to conquer and get back. So I just dug it. It seemed like as soon as I joined a party, they wanted to like do a party chat, but I wasn't necessarily doing a party chat because I didn't know what kind of audio I was going to get on my stream. And I'm being a little bit more mindful of that, you know, in terms of who's saying what while I'm playing. I don't know. I'm just trying to change a couple of things. I'm sure you understand how that is. Yeah. And so I'm being a little bit more mindful of that. But yeah, overall, I think it was cool. I just enjoyed that I was able to, you know, experience it, shoot some individuals, you know, shoot some of those hyenas, as they call them, when they were holding a particular point, loot. All the different spots that you can loot, you know, shoot a lock off a fence and get the stuff in that particular area and just join, you know, anybody who needed help or just do stuff solo. So I think it was a mix of a lot of things. I don't know if it's going to be day one or not. Right now it's not on my radar for day one, but I'm glad I got experience or some context of what is expected for them or from them, I should say. And it's really exciting stuff. That's where I'm at.
All right, all right. As long as one of us is liking it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's cool. It's cool. It's definitely a new experience. So you got more on that or?
Nah.
Okay, cool. So I'm not gonna be really long-winded tonight. We got a couple of quick hits, and you know, as far as like, you know, the weather situation, I definitely want to have as much audio from you as possible before we wrap. So the next thing, I'll do some quick hits, and then we'll end with some snapshot that you want to mention about your articles, and then the OBS thing that I was mentioning earlier, and then we'll wrap from there. That cool?
All right. Yeah.
All right, cool. So Blacklight Retribution will shut down its PC servers on the 11th of March, 2019. Michonne departing from The Walking Dead. Any thoughts on those things?
It's interesting what they're doing with Walking Dead. I'm behind on it. I'm super behind on it. But she's pretty much the second biggest character that's going to be leaving now. Because you had, what's his name? Andrew, who left. Andrew Lincoln, I believe it is. Andrew that left season 9. And Michonne has been a part of the Walking Dead series since like season 3. That's such a long time.
Right.
But it's good. It needs change if they want to continue on with this whole Walking Dead thing. I mean, you can't keep having the main characters living. Like, in a perfect world, that'd be great. But in a zombie world, you know, that's not realistic.
Right. Yeah, I'm behind, and I don't know if I'll ever catch up. Because I can't do the zombie thing for too long. I did the first maybe 2 seasons. Oh, I came in with, I saw Michonne. So you said that season 3, right? So I saw her. Yeah. The governor, what season was that when he came in?
Mm-hmm.
And he had the baby. He had the baby in the closet, his daughter, I guess.
I think that is season 3.
Okay, so that's probably where I stopped. And I don't think I'm going to go back. I kind of dipped in when the guy with the bat, what was that, 7 or 6? The latest guy?
7, I think. I'm really bad at remembering what seasons those fall in.
Yeah, I dipped in and I just peeked. You know, one day my wife was watching. I was like, who's this guy? He's kind of weird. He's kind of wild.
Negan.
Yeah, that guy. So yeah, but outside of that, I'm good on The Walking Dead. I don't have to watch it or anything like that. So that's what's going on with that. Blacklight Retribution, did you ever play that at all?
Nah, I wasn't really into it.
Yeah, it was neat. It was neat for a shooter. It was free to play. You know, it was, there's a lot of free to plays out there. It was okay versus some of the things that we have out now. Sony's 100 gig cloud storage, that's rolling out now for you guys paying attention to that stuff. The next thing that I have is Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. I think they released a trailer this week. I'll link that in the show notes. Any thoughts on that game?
I want it. I'm going to play it. Not necessarily day one, but it's on my list of games to play.
Okay, fair enough. Crackdown free before Crackdown 3 launches.
I think that's a great idea. I think more games should definitely do that. At least offer something in their previous series that's free to get people like to kill their time, to reacquaint them with the series before the next one comes out. I think that's always a smart marketing idea.
Yeah, I've heard great things about Crackdown. I've heard some individuals just love it for everything that it is. Some individuals don't really care for it. I think I'm somewhere in between based on what I saw with Crackdown. I think it's great marketing, as you said, for the company to say, hey, this is what's happening leading into the rollout for the new one, which is Crackdown 3. I don't think it's necessarily something that I'm going to jump on. It's not my kind of game. I don't know if it's comparable to anything that I play now. If it is, maybe I'll check it out. But the reality is, for me, I probably won't.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, so that's what's going on with that. Xbox Live for Switch Mobile. Interesting, right?
It is. I was actually a little bit caught off guard to that. I'm like, that's a very interesting partnership there. I mean, are you trying to further rub it into PlayStation's face there or something?
Could be.
It could be. But I think that was an interesting partnership between the two to start working on that.
Absolutely. It's an interesting. I don't know where, if we'll ever get cross-platform across everything that we want. I know Sea of Thieves recently did something, you know, to make it optional. I think we talked about that on the last episode briefly as it relates to cross-play stuff. And I don't know. I know you just got your Switch, you know, a couple of months ago or, you know, I know you're having fun with it, and I know there are a lot of games coming out for it, being ported to it. So that should be exciting for you.
I guess. I mean, I don't... I feel, okay, so this whole partnership thing was, like, Nintendo's way of wanting to bring in, like, achievements, kind of like Xbox does. Like, why doesn't Nintendo create their own? You know, they've done, like, they always did their own thing without any regards to what Sony or Microsoft is doing. They always beat to their own drum. So what is bringing along that change of idea of, like, you know what, we're going to partnership with Microsoft, we're going to have all these things together, we're going to have achievements. Like, it's just, that change to me is what just, like, I felt so weird about.
Yeah, it may be easier to do that than to do the infrastructure from scratch. And if they have a great relationship where we've seen other characters from, what was that Ubisoft Mario game where they did the cross thing with those characters?
Rabbid something?
Yeah, that. You know,
I never played it.
Yeah, so we're seeing stuff like that. You know, a lot of companies are trying to really make sure that we experience their stuff. Even when we saw Lost Planet 2 have Gears of War characters in Lost Planet, you know, Capcom and Epic, right? And, you know, great relationships mm-hmm. happen, you know, across, and we're seeing different companies re-engage and redo some awesome things where the consumers are happy about and excited about to experience. So I think that's kind of neat.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I don't know. I still stick with, like, if we're going to be having all this crossing of consoles, why have so many?
Right. cool stuff.
It's just eventually just going to be one monopoly of just a single console.
Right. Cool stuff happening out there. Night Marchers, a post-apocalyptic RPG on Oahu.
Yeah, so I heard about this game, like little bits and pieces of it, ending 2017, beginning of 2018. And I heard actually originally really bad stuff about it because I guess they allowed a couple outlets have some really super early access to experience it. But the game is so not even close to being done. I think the articles I read on it was really unfair because they were trying to judge it as if it was a full complete game. Which I never ever feel that's a fair review to do that to somebody. It's like kind of like how us talking about our experiences with Division. Like, yeah, that was our current thing, but you're not talking about it as if that's like the 100% final product. There's things that we can change. That's why there's that beta. So this one isn't even a beta. It's just this game that's out there. And recently they just came out with a whole gameplay trailer of their alpha, playing of it. And I'm just super excited because it is something that takes place in Hawaii, specifically on the island of Oahu, which they have done a lot of research into the history of Hawaii, its lore, and I believe like the area that they're trying to mirror really does look like a very lush Oahu, which is almost kind of not fair in a way because Oahu is a very, very city thing. I never understand why anybody ever wants to visit that island when they come to Hawaii as a vacation. Personal experience, don't choose Oahu. Who's any of the other islands but Oahu. The fact that there is a video game that is coming that kind of Hawaii is like the centerpiece and it's going off of the lore, which is Night Marchers. Night Marchers are spirits of dead warriors. And that's literally what it is. And we have our own little, you know, ghost stories that go throughout the island that you'll see them. The reason why they're called Night Marchers is because they literally march at night. They patrol, and so you can see along the mountain line sometimes if you ever, like, you're looking and you can see torches that you wouldn't normally see. It's what we would say are evil spirits or dead warriors just patrolling along their way. And there's a lot of things that if you ever came across a night marcher that you shouldn't ever look at them. You should look down or lay flat on the ground in a kind of like a like a prayer pose almost in a way, because you want to honor them for being warriors. If you don't and you disrespect them, they pretty much, you die a violent death. I mean, of course, these are like old wives' tales and lore that like goes about and it has a whole history about it. And so this game, the way I'm looking at it and what the alpha gameplay that they showcased this week it definitely gave this feel of like if you took what is the name of that game? Far Cry, and you added like a filter of just Hawaii and, you know, the Polynesian look to it. And I think that's actually kind of cool. I don't think for certain RPGs you need to necessarily reinvent the wheel. I think if something's there and it works, that's great. And I saw in the gameplay that there was this, like, the warrior that you're playing has the ability to kind of shapeshift. I'm kind of thinking that's like an aumakua, which an aumakua in Hawaii is that certain Hawaiian families have their family god or a specific type of animal that is, I don't know exactly the English word for it, but it's kind of like if you had a family crest that represents your family, but except it is a spirit, it is an animal. There would be one specific one, and it kind of gave me the impression that when he was shape-shifting, he was like, he turned into an owl, and he was just like surveying the lands, which it looked really, really lush. It looked really cool, and I'm not too sure what the storyline is going to be going for, or the timeline or era that it is, because there is guns, there is shooting, and I want to know more about what is the storyline behind this. But the fact that it's just in Hawaii it's got me excited.
Nice. And when are they releasing more data? Did they give any hints or anything? Or
no, they haven't. It was just like a nice little teaser trailer, which I thought was cool. So I'm looking forward to it.
Nice. All right. Fair enough. That sounds very interesting. Okay, so I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. Okay, so I was trying to figure out how to do this particular section. So I'll say it this way. Give us a snapshot of the recent articles that you posted on the showradio.info.
So let's see, I did BCOP, which is a mobile point and click adventure game, which is actually really, really cool and really fun. I've been actually playing that during my downtime here and there, especially today since my power and my internet keep going out. And then I did an article for Omen Sight, which is a very interesting game in the sense of like you're just kind of repeating 24 hours in the game of what happens in the story. It's like a murder mystery with some butterfly effect. And that was a lot of fun. And then the last article that I published was also a very personal one that I thought I would share that I thought was so interesting. Originally, I kind of wanted to do a written review so much about Resident Evil 2. But the more I thought about it, it's like I always thought about my dad and how a relationship with my dad kind of formed what type of relationship I had with an entire video game series. It was very personal, but it was, I feel like it was also some type of article that I think a lot of people can resonate with when it comes to gaming and how they use it to be therapeutic for themselves. Yeah, you can go ahead and check that out on the showradio.info.
Word. It's really good. It's really good. I mean, some of the things that you mentioned in there, I remember like growing up when I used to wait for my dad to like pick me up and he didn't show up, right? And I was like, oh, what's going on? Why isn't he show up? What is it about us that he doesn't want to spend time with us? And one of the things that I share with you is, you know, Bob Ross, I believe that's the name of the guy, the painter, you know, was really the one that kept me company when my dad didn't come get me to hang out or for whatever reason. So it definitely, you know, sent me back to those memories are not necessarily the happiest, right? But at the same time, you know, I thank God for my mom. You know, she was an amazing, amazing woman, and you know, she raised us well, and we just try to be, you know, good people with shed a love wherever we can. So yeah, that was definitely a great article that you shared about your experience in Resident Evil, and that's available now. So guys, check that out, theshowradio.info. You'll see that. The name of the article is How I Almost Didn't Play Resident Evil 2. Check that out on the blog. E3, right? That's happening. That's news for that is out. People are applying, that kind of a thing. So I've always encouraged, I guess more so the last 2-3 years, that if you can apply, just apply. You never know. You know, if you don't apply, you won't know. If you apply and you get it and you didn't think you were going to get in, now you just have to figure out what to do after that. So any thoughts on E3?
It's one of those corny lines like you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Right. You do. It's definitely exciting.
Go ahead and try and see what happens.
Absolutely. So that's happening right now. Also, the last thing I want to mention, it's not, it's something that's in the works. I'm trying to figure out if I want to do a video about it or I want to do an article. I think I'm writing the article first just to set the context of my experience with OBS. I've been really just digging into OBS, learning the different tabs, the different options, what they mean, what bitrate I should stream at for the video, and what should I use for the audio, and what color range I should use, all those things, because I've been seeing, you know, a couple of streams on Twitch where some individuals are really struggling with trying to get the right balance between the bitrate and the skipping and stuff like that. And I just feel like I need to write my particular piece about it, because the machine that I'm using is a laptop that's 10 years old. And if I'm getting the quality that I'm getting, you know, with some decent gear, and I definitely want you to throw out some specs with your stuff. I mean, we're talking a 10-year-old laptop, right? 12 gigs of RAM, which is nothing these days. It's an old i7.
Oh man!
Thing, yeah, yeah, and it's
Go ahead and fit it out. I got some comments after that.
Yeah, so 12 gigs of RAM. It's an old i7, and I'm going to put those specs specifically before I state my case, right? And then you have a GTX 470 or something like that in the machine. It's old. It's a 12-pound laptop, and I've brought it to E3 probably once or twice. And this thing is a heavy monster, right? But in terms of doing the streams, doing the shows that we've done, and you know, some of the things I've been able to do with it, it's really blessed me to do some of the things that I'm doing now. So go ahead.
It's funny that you bring that up about like what I have in mind, because actually I just purchased all of my PC upgrade parts for my PC rig 4.0.
What
like
did
literally
you get?
The only. Oh, okay. So currently, well, I'll tell you what I currently have in my rig is I'm running 16 gigs of RAM with a 1070. I have an i7 4770K and just Windows 10 Pro. It's pretty simple, pretty basic, but I've had the 4770K for probably 5 years now, 4 or 5 years. And it's done me solid, but I realized that with a lot of stuff that I want to add on to my host streaming and work on and doing videos, like rendering videos on mine is really, really, really difficult. It takes forever and it's not really the most ideal for the things I want to do.
Right.
Like I think for like a 30-second clip, it took me like 20 minutes to render.
Right.
So when I did my YouTube highlight video, that was 3 minutes and 55 seconds. And so 4 minutes, that took me, I think, 3 hours to render. And I didn't have any complex stuff in there as far as like effects or anything like that. I had some in there, but I had to like almost render those in different videos and then splice them all together.
Wait, it took 4 hours for 3 minutes?
Yeah, that's where my PC is at as far as everything else. So, I'm upgrading it now. So I'm upgrading my motherboard to an Asus Maximus Hero with an i9-9900K and 64 gigs of RAM. And really the only thing I'm keeping is my solid state drive, my secondary drive, my graphics card, and my power supply and my case. Those are the things I'm going to be reutilizing.
So
but I'm also
doing...
adding... another solid state drive and another 4 terabytes hard drive.
So the i7 4770K, what are you doing with that?
I might actually build another computer with it and have it as a second, like as a dedicated streaming PC, or I might just build another computer and possibly just give it to my sister. She doesn't really have one. See how it goes. It's not bad. It's just that it's not what I needed. Like I needed to do more. I need my rig to do more.
Yeah. I need to find, okay, my cursor. Okay. No, go ahead. I'm listening.
And then with all of those upgrades, I also bought an Oculus Rift.
Oh man. You've been busy.
So I can thank the decision for the Oculus Rift on Carrie's Hunter is Carrie Ann herself, because she, like, I was good with having the PSVR, and I'm happy with it. It's a nice budget. It's like the more affordable of the VRs out there on the market right now. And especially if you're not a PC gamer at all, I mean, it's pretty much kind of the only option you have. But watching her streams and everything she's been doing, I'm like, I so want to experience that and play that and do this. I'm like, ugh, you know what?
Yeah, she's really neat with her stream. It's pretty fun to watch. It's so, really fun to watch.
I treated myself. And so, yeah, I'm going to be doing that and rehauling everything. But I'm not 100% sure. It's all ordered, but the only thing that was currently out of stock when I bought it was my CPU. So I have to wait till they restock before they'll ship it out, and I'm not too sure how long that's going to be.
Right. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out where they show the specs for this machine. Intel Core i7-980X 6-core desktop processor. NVIDIA GeForce 480M. 12 gigs of RAM, and that's it.
For streaming console games, that's actually fine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm running 720p. I'm running at 30, I think, what am I, 3500 or just underneath that. I like threes and sevens, so I think my number in there is like 3377 or something like that. And it stays pretty consistent after I checked it out with Twitch Inspector. So I want to share, you know, my experience, and hopefully someone can get some use out of that and be encouraged that if their stuff is newer than mine, they should be there or better.
Yeah, I think yours is fine. I don't know. I think if you stick as a streamer, if you stick to, like, you're happy playing your console games, like, that is more than enough, really. It is. Because if you have, like, an external capture card or whatever, then you're kind of good to go. It's not as stressful as one would think. Now, if you're playing PC games, yeah, sure, you need more than that.
It could be.
Console games? No.
It could be. The reason I say it could be is because there's that setting in OBS where you can check super fast, fast, ultra fast, faster, you know, in terms of how much you want you want the stuff to be processed with the X264 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I could see the number change from, you know, 20% CPU usage, and as I adjusted it up to get better quality, to like 50%. Of the CPU usage, and I had to bring it back down. So I was even messing with that to see how far I can go without locking up the entire machine when I'm trying to use other programs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think I have mine that heavy. And OBS just, I think they just came out with a new update too, where they implemented NVENC support. So you can actually take some of the load off of the CPU processing and put it onto the video card.
I don't have that option.
Oh, not yet. I know they just only came out within the last couple of days, so I don't know if you have to upgrade it. And then they also included the Twitch integration.
Okay, I didn't see that yet. So that's for the OBS Studio, not the slobs and Stream Elements versions, right? You're talking about the standard one?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll check for an update on that. That should be fun to look at, because the only thing I'm using right now with OBS is just the standard one. I've just been messing with the settings on it. I was going to say something to you. What was I going to say? You were giving me some. So I am using the Elgato. I would say the original Elgato, not the 60S. So I'm using that to capture stuff. It's been fun, and I put all my video settings for the consoles at 720p. Under settings for the PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, PS3, and all that stuff. So I kind of like made sure everything was 720p flowing through, so I didn't have any issues. And so, yeah. So I'm going to write a little bit about that. You know, it's not the all and what's that saying? End all be all guide, you know, whatever, however that's, but it's just, you know, my experiences, and I definitely want to share with some individuals who care to read it once I finish writing it.
Cause I think even though there's, I guess, research people can do, it's always nice to have like one central area where somebody is going through that process as well.
Yeah.
Free information is just awesome, no matter who's talking about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, so that's all I have. I'm having fun doing that, writing that. Let me just go back to this tab here. Any final thoughts, Daniela?
No. No, I wish we could have recorded live on stream, but, you know, the weather did not want to cooperate with me today.
No, it's all good. I definitely want to do something that we can add to the feed for our listeners and supporters from all over, international as well as domestic. So that's all I have. Theshowradio.info is the blog. You can find Daniela streaming at, where are you at, Daniela?
You can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/MissDJM. And you can also follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/MissDJM.
Word. And you can find me at Uriah, U-R-I-Y-Y-A. That's on Twitter and Twitch. And that's all I have, guys. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for listening to episode 486. Take care. Have a great one.
Yeah. Bye, guys.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.